Let's begin in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And tonight we want to look at the feeding of the 5,000. This is one of those stories that, not many, but this is one of the stories that appear in all four of the Gospels. So let's begin in Matthew chapter 14. In verse 13. And when he heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place. The time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to meditate and reflect upon this passage in the Gospels. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit now would teach us, help each one of us to make application to our own lives and to our own service. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we've noticed in this section of the Gospels, in this section of the Lord's earthly life, that Israel as a nation has basically turned against the Lord Jesus as the Messiah King. And as a result, the Lord Jesus has turned away from the nation. And no more is the kingdom of heaven offered unto them as at hand. And now, after about 2 years of his public ministry, the Lord Jesus now begins to withdraw from the great crowds and the multitudes. And he seeks quiet places to get away from those crowds. And in those quiet times, he seeks now, his emphasis is on training the 12. He sent them out, the gospel of the kingdom was offered, the nation rejected it, and now the Lord Jesus pronounced judgment on the cities that had rejected so much light. He said Sodom would have repented had they had that much light. And so he begins to withdraw, and now he's going to begin to teach with great intensity the 12. And we read in the Gospel of Luke, it's not mentioned here, in the Gospel of Luke tells us that he withdrew to a place called Bethsaida. And John tells us that he went into a mountain area with his disciples to try to get away from all the crowds. He had been busy ministering, he was tired, the disciples were tired. And also the Lord knew that he was going to be facing more and more opposition, more violent opposition, which will eventually lead to his crucifixion. And Jesus knew all about that. And so what the Lord does here in the feeding of the 5,000 is his purpose is to train the disciples. And he's going to use the physical realm, as he so often does, he's going to use the physical realm to teach them truths about the spiritual realm. And here he's going to use the example of feeding 5,000 men physically to illustrate how the disciples were to feed the souls of men in his absence. And naturally, when the Lord Jesus is gone, the disciples are going to be distraught. They are going to feel very inadequate for the task. They will be sent out to preach the gospel unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And Christ will no longer be with them physically. So they naturally would feel inadequate in themselves. They don't have the resources to carry out that great commission. So how would they ever meet all the spiritual needs of so many thousands and hundreds of thousands of people? Later, the Lord Jesus would give a simple command to Peter, and he'll say, "Feed my sheep." We see in the Gospel of Matthew and later in John chapter 6, with the miracle of the feeding of 5,000, this was designed to teach his disciples how to feed souls in his absence. So let's consider once again what the Lord tried to impart to his disciples in verses beginning in verse 13. We read here that the Lord Jesus departed by a ship. He went into a desert place. Then the other Gospels tell us that he went into a mountain area. And he was trying to get away, but the people, verse 13, followed him on foot out of the cities. So when Jesus was trying to get some solitude and rest, the people came out of the woodworks from the villages and cities, and they thronged around him. And we read in verse 14, when the Lord Jesus saw the multitudes coming towards him, he felt compassion on them. So remember, he's teaching his disciples how to minister to people. And the first thing we read here, that is, the Lord's ministry stemmed from his own heart of compassion, genuine compassion for the people. And we read in that passage at the end of verse 14 that he healed some of their sick. He felt sorry for them. He had compassion for them. And then in verse 13, when it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert area. And the time is now past. It's getting late. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves some food." So here the disciples knew that there were 5,000 people out there, and maybe upwards of 15,000, if you count the women and children. This was a massive crowd of people, and the disciples were thinking, "We're never going to be able to take care of this crowd. They're going to be getting very hungry pretty soon. And we don't have any resources. We don't have enough food to feed 15,000 people." And then the Lord said something in verse 16 that caught their attention. In verse 16, Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. They don't need to go anywhere. You give them to eat." So here the Lord Jesus tells the disciples to feed upwards of 15,000 people. And he said this obviously to kind of shock them into thinking. And the disciples were very perplexed by this. And notice in verse 17, "And they said unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The disciples acknowledged they didn't have the resources to feed the hungry bellies of 15,000 people. Now remember again, I'm going to keep repeating this. The Lord was teaching these men how to serve him in his absence and how to minister on earth in his absence. The disciples were looking to their own resources. And they were without resources. There was no possible way they were going to be able to feed that many people. They only had a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And so here the Lord began to teach them that they needed to look beyond their own resources and look to the Lord. They should have remembered the many miracles that the Lord had been doing throughout his ministry in the last couple of years. They should have remembered their Jewish history, how when the people were hungry in the desert, God gave them manna from heaven. He sent quails from heaven. He provided water out of a rock. Now, John tells us some information that we don't get in the Gospel of Mark. So let's turn there for a moment. Turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 in verse 5. "And when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip." Now here's a one-on-one conversation Matthew didn't mention. And so the Lord Jesus says to Philip in particular, "When shall we buy food that these may eat?" So before he told the 12 to feed them, he put a little bug in Philip's ear and he said, "Where are we going to get all the supplies to feed this many people? Where will we get all this bread?" And then notice in verse 6, and this he said to prove him, to test him. For he himself knew what he would do. Jesus already had it planned out how this story ends. He knew exactly what he had in mind. He knew what he was going to do. He knew that he was going to supernaturally provide food for all of these people. But Philip didn't know that. The other apostles had no idea where this would come from. And here we read that Jesus was setting these men up to test them. Now, this was part of their training. This was part of their teaching. He was testing them to see how they would handle this situation. And it served, he was going to use it to feed hungry bellies, but he wanted to teach them important truths about meeting the spiritual need of people as well. And then in verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. So here Philip admits, we don't have the money to go to the store and buy enough bread. Even if we had 100 coins, that wouldn't be enough. And the implication is they didn't have anywhere near that much money, and they just didn't have the resources to feed all that people. And then Andrew comes up with an idea. Look in verses, beginning in verse 8. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? So Andrew stated, Philip let the Lord know that they didn't have enough money to buy food for the people, and Andrew pipes up and says, we don't have enough food to feed them either. We have one little boy has a lunch. He's got 5 pieces of bread, 5 hunks of bread, and 2 fish. But that's never going to feed 5,000 hungry men with their wives and children. And so as far as the disciples were concerned, there was no possible way to feed the crowd and to meet their needs, their physical needs. But what was the Lord's command? He said, feed them. They didn't have any money, they didn't have any food, and the Lord tells them to feed them, knowing that this was a test. They should have known that nothing's too hard for the Lord. And if this task was too big for them, it was because their God was too small in their minds. And so now the Lord brought his disciples. Yes, he is going to minister to the crowds, but primarily he's dealing with the 12. And he's bringing them to see, to notice, to realize, to acknowledge that they were at the end of their resources. They didn't have what it took to accomplish what the Lord commanded. And by the way, neither do we today preach the gospel unto the ends of the earth. And so the Lord made these disciples realize that they were now at the end of their resources. They didn't have enough to obey the Lord's command. And in other words, the Lord had them right where he wanted them. And when we come to the end of our resources, when we come to the place where we realize that we can no longer operate on the basis of sight, we can no longer rely on our wisdom or our talent or our ability or our resources, then, as the songwriter says, the Father's full giving has only begun. And this is the lesson the Lord wanted to teach the disciples that way. It is vital if they were going to carry out this great commission that would soon be theirs. Now, their forefathers, their Jewish forefathers, never seemed to learn this lesson. When they had a problem all throughout Israel's history, instead of taking their dilemma to the Lord, instead of saying, Lord, this is beyond us, or instead of saying, Lord, we don't have the strength to fight this army that's invading us, they invariably, they seemed to go to either Egypt or Assyria, wherever they thought they could get the best help. And they didn't seem to realize that God simply wanted them to take their problems to the Lord. And notice the disciples said to the Lord, he says, we only have 2 fish and 5 pieces of bread. That's all we have. And yet the Lord wanted them to realize that while their resources and their strength and ability and wisdom may be very limited, God is completely unlimited. He has unlimited resources available to His servants for the asking. Now consider the strategy that the Lord used to teach His disciples that day. He started off by putting a little bug in the ear of Andrew, saying, there's all these people out there that are hungry. How are you going to feed them? How do you feed all those people? And then we read in John that the Lord knew what He was going to do. He had it all worked out. He wasn't worried or concerned about these people starving to death. But He wanted the disciples to come to Him. He wanted the disciples to seek His resources, to seek His solution to the problem, and to trust in Him to work out that which was impossible on their part. And you know, this is exactly what God wants us to do. With all of our needs and all of our problems and all of our dilemmas, take them to the Lord in prayer. And I'll go back to Matthew chapter 14 again. And we read about, first the Lord showed the disciples their inability, and now the Lord is going to manifest His ability. Look in verse 18 of Matthew 14. And He said, "Bring them hither to me." They just said, "All we have is this little boy's lunch, 2 fish, 5 hunks of bread." And the Lord says, "Give it to me." That's all the food they had. It was a little boy's lunch. It was never going to feed 5 to 15,000 hungry bellies. But the Lord said, "Whatever you have, give to me." And again, yes, He is going to be feeding the crowd, but He's teaching His disciples. You know, Paul tells us, whatever we have, we received it from the Lord. What hast thou that thou hast not received? Now, the Lord tells the disciples, okay, this is all you have, 2 fish and 5 hunks of bread. Between the disciples, that's not much of a meal. It was just one young boy's lunch. And the Lord said, whatever you have, give to me. I want you in total surrender. I want you to give whatever you have, give it to me. And you know, the Lord always expects whatever we have for us to hold very loosely. Whether it be much or little, God wants us to hold all of the things, all of our resources, all of our time and talent and experience. He wants us to hold it very loosely in our hands so that He can use it anytime He wants, because after all, it belongs to Him, it came from Him. The little boy gave what he had to the disciples. Now the Lord wants the disciples to give that little to Him. And look in verse 19. And He commanded the multitude to sit down in the grass, and He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looked up to heaven. He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. So here the Lord Jesus tells the disciples to give whatever they have to Him, whatever food they have, whatever resources, give it to the Lord. Always a good idea. And then the Lord commanded the multitudes to sit down in a neat and orderly fashion so that the food could be distributed without chaos. And then the Lord Jesus looked up to heaven and He thanked God. He looked to His heavenly Father. Again, He is the example of what a human being, how a human being ought to function in the world. And He looks up to His heavenly Father, He thanks the Father, and He blesses the food. And then the Lord gave that food back to the disciples. And He's going to teach them that when we turn over to the Lord, whatever we have, whether it's little or much, the Lord is able to turn our little into much. And even though they didn't have an awful lot of food, they didn't need an awful lot of food. Because God doesn't need a lot to do a lot. And this is the lesson they needed to learn. That the work of the Lord is the work of the Lord. It's His work. And when God gives a command, He'll provide whatever we need to carry out that command. And then notice, after the food was distributed in verse 20, and they did all eat. That's all the multitude. Whether it was said 5,000 men, if their wives and children were there, it could have been double, triple, or quadruple that amount. But they all ate. And they didn't just eat a little speck. They were filled. They got filled. And not only did they all eat and they were all filled, but they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets, and the baskets were full. They weren't even full when it started. There were only 2 fish. So here we see 12 baskets of leftovers. Obviously, what took place as the disciples reached their hands into these baskets and started distributing to the food to the people, obviously a miracle was taking place. A series of miracles was taking place. But put yourself in the shoes of those people. They didn't see the miracle that was taking place. They saw a man walk up to them with a basket, and he gave you a piece of bread, and he gave you a piece of fish, and he walked on and he did it to the next person, and then he was out of your sight. They didn't see the miracle that was taking place. They couldn't see the fact that when he took one fish out, God was replenishing the basket, probably from the bottom up. You know, in our puny efforts and our puny resources are turned over to the Lord, and we attempt to do what He says, even if it seems like an impossible command, feed 5,000 people with that little boy's lunch, if we turn over our puny self and our resources to the Lord and we seek to do as He said, the result will always be good fruit, and people will be fed as a result. Now, Jesus was using this miracle to feed hungry bellies, but He wanted to teach the 12 how to feed souls in His absence. Soon the Lord Jesus would be crucified, raised, ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father, and from thence He would send the Holy Spirit, and the disciples were going to be sent out unto the uttermost parts of the earth to preach the gospel to every creature. Now, that's quite a command. And it probably seemed a little unreasonable and beyond their ability to perform. They didn't have the resources to travel worldwide and establish churches all over the earth. They didn't have the resources, they didn't have the strength, they didn't have the wisdom or the ability. And the Lord was getting them to the place where they realized that. The feeding of the 5,000 was the Lord's explanation and illustration to the 12 how they would be able to carry out impossible commands that the Lord was about to give them. They take whatever amount, whatever they have, turn it over to the Lord and give it to God. And then do whatever God says, even if it seems impossible, and trust God for the outcome. And ask God to bless our puny efforts, counting on His ability, not our ability, and then to rejoice when God blesses and there's fruit as a result. And that's a beautiful picture of ministry for the Lord. Whether it's in Galilee or Uruguay or Benin or Haiti or South Africa or Connecticut or Salem, New Hampshire, wherever we might be serving the Lord, here we have a beautiful picture as to how ministry ought to be conducted. And there are wonderful applications for us. Notice that in Matthew chapter 14, the teaching ministry of the Lord began with compassion from His heart for the people. And turn to Mark chapter 6. We see this, Mark chapter 6. In verse 34. And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them. And here's why. Because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now, Jesus had gone to Bethsaida to get away from the crowds because he was tired from ministry in the previous days. He and his disciples were tired and hungry, but the crowds followed them there anyway. But when the Lord saw the multitude, he didn't get frustrated and say, "Oh no, I'm trying to get away from them." He wasn't upset because his rest was cut short. He was moved with compassion. He saw these people as sheep without a shepherd, and he was trying to teach the disciples that if you're going to minister to people and show compassion to them, compassion is always costly. And he was going to have to the Lord Jesus was going to sacrifice his rest to minister to those people. And the disciples were going to have to sacrifice their rest and relaxation in order to minister to the people. And you know, ministry today ought to stem from compassion. That ought to be a driving force behind. Yes, it's to be done. Yes, we're to minister to others because God said so. But our ministry should not just be obedience to a command with a cold heart. I'm doing it not because I want to, but because I have to. That's no way to serve the Lord. And the Lord was teaching the disciples that even though they were tired and hungry and they wanted to get away, they couldn't get away from the crowd here. And the Lord still had compassion. You know, today as we minister to the Lord, whether it's in the mission field or whether it's in the local church, our ministry should always stem from a love for people and a compassion for people and their needs. And if that's the driving force behind our ministry, it's always going to be costly to us. Remember the Good Samaritan? When he found the needy man on the road when no one else would minister to him, it cost him. He had to take care of his wounds, and he brought him to an inn, and he paid for his stay there. It was costly. And Paul describes his ministry to the Corinthians. He said that he was willing to spend and be spent. In other words, he was willing to spend whatever resources he had. He was willing to spend his life and to be spent on behalf of the Corinthians. And I love the illustration that he gave to the Philippian believers in Philippians 2. He said he was willing to be poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice in service to them. You know, the apostles could have put themselves first in this situation. They could, instead of esteeming others better than themselves, they could have and maybe justifiably so. We're tired and hungry. We need to get refreshed. We need to get away from the crowd. And there's not enough food here. There's no way we're going to be able to feed this boy's lunch and feed 5,000. Maybe if we just ate it ourselves, we might each have a little piece of bread that we could share and a little portion of fish. It would certainly feed 12 hungry men a lot easier than 15,000. But that wasn't the lesson the Lord wanted to teach them. The Lord wanted to show them that if they're going to show compassion to people, it's going to be costly. And yet, we see that at the end of this story, when they sacrifice themselves and they put others first, and they distributed what little they had and they gave it to others, there were 12 baskets left over. They didn't go hungry. In fact, they ended up having a lot more food for each one of the disciples than had they kept it to themselves. And we need to learn this lesson. If we're going to reach the lost, if we're going to share the gospel, it should come from a heart of compassion, the love of Christ working in us, not our own love for the lost, but the Lord's love working through us. And if that's the case, then love is costly. We may pay a price there. We might be ridiculed. It might be costly time-wise. We might have to give sacrificially to missions. We might have to give our life to mission if the Lord so directs. But there's a price to pay. And if we're going to minister in the local church, it ought to stem from a heart of compassion. And that too is costly. It might cost you a Friday night. It might cost you a Saturday morning helping somebody paint their fence or move a piano, or might cost you getting up early to give somebody a ride somewhere. It's always costly to be compassionate. And the Lord Jesus was teaching them this was where how ministry begins. Also in Mark 6, look in verse 37. And he answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat?" Now remember, this was the Lord testing them. He already knew what he was going to do. But here he gives them an impossible command that they had no way to obey or to carry out on their own, because he wanted them to turn to him. And the apostles obeyed, and God blessed their efforts, and the multitude was fed that day. So think about this. God gave an impossible command. And you know, sometimes when we read the commands in the Bible, love your enemy, do good to those that treat you miserably, pray for them that curse you, bless them that curse you. Some of these commands seem impossible to us. You know, God often gives impossible commands. He told Joshua, "You want to defeat that city? March around me around the walls 7 times and blow your trumpets, and you'll be victorious." Didn't sound like a very brilliant military strategy. Naaman was told, "You want to get rid of your leprosy? Jump in a Jewish river and wash 7 times, and you'll get rid of your leprosy." Jehoshaphat was told to march in front of the army and send the choir out, and you'll be victorious. Maybe they were so bad the other enemy ran away. I don't think that was the strategy there. But God often gave commands that seemed impossible, that seemed maybe even illogical. But when people obeyed, God blessed. Naaman was cleansed. Joshua had victory. And it didn't matter one iota whether Joshua understood how trumpets were going to cause the walls to collapse. All Joshua had to know is what God said. Just do what God said, and God would do the work. And Jehoshaphat, he didn't have to know how the choir was going to have an effect on the enemy. All he had to do was do what God said. Do the best that he could to obey a command that was beyond his ability to fully grasp and understand, and leave it in God's hands, and God will bring the blessing in the end. And that was good training for the disciples in the first century, and it's good advice for us today. We want to serve the Lord in the Sunday school ministry, or in the choir ministry, or the cleanup crew, or we want to help in the VBS program. And we might reason to ourselves, "Well, I don't have time. It's going to be hard getting transportation there. And who knows, I might get a cold or some other thing might happen." But the Lord wanted the disciples and us to learn that if we give God what little we have, he can bless that and bring wonderful fruit out of it as a result. And he doesn't need a lot. He isn't asking a lot. When we offer to God what he commands, what he has given to us, and we offer it back to him, he provides whatever resources are needed to carry out the job. You know, ministry always involves giving. It's costly, and it involves giving. And here in this story of the feeding of the 5,000, the Lord already had it planned out what he was going to do, how he was going to feed that crowd. And he wanted the disciples to give what little they had to him, and then he would give it back to them in baskets, and they were to distribute it to the people. Now, just suppose they kept that little boy's lunch to themselves. It would have been a pretty puny lunch to split between 12 hungry men. And you know, if we keep our blessings and our resources and our time and our talent to ourselves instead of turning whatever little we have over to the Lord, if we keep it to ourselves, we are the losers in the end. The apostles could easily have reasoned to themselves that trying to feed 15,000 people with a boy's lunch is useless. They're only going to get a molecule apiece. But you know what Solomon said? Sounds counterintuitive, but he said, "There is such a thing that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that which withholdeth more than is meet or fitting and tendeth to poverty." And so Solomon said there is such a thing as scattering something, casting things away, and you end up gaining more in the end. And there's also such a thing as holding on to something, and you'd think you'd have more by not giving it away, and you end up in poverty. And that's very much like what the Lord Jesus said in John 12. "Except a corn of grain fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it's going to blossom up and produce much fruit." And the Lord Jesus was teaching the same principle here to his disciples as they fed the 5,000. If they would just turn over that little seed, it's not much of a meal, one grain of wheat, but if you turn it over to the Lord, He can bless it and multiply it, and it can be very fruitful. And this is how the disciples were to serve the Lord. Ministry is to be characterized by selfless giving. Whether on the mission field or in the local church, the principle of ministry is exactly the same. Sacrificial giving of self, of our time, our resources, our talents, our all, our energy. And as a result, if we give over our puny little self to the Lord, other people can be blessed. Some will hear the gospel. Some in the local church will be encouraged. Now just put yourself in the shoes of the apostles. When they were passing out the fish, the first fish they passed out, they said, "Oh, this is going to be quick. I'm done already." And then the fish just kept coming. And the bread just kept coming. And they realized that as they did what God told them to do, as impossible as it seemed, there was no limit to what God was doing. God was working through them. And all they had to do was trust and obey. I can imagine that once the disciples realized that a miracle was taking place, every time they passed out the fish and the bread, they were probably just rejoicing and jumping for joy that God was supernaturally blessing their puny little efforts and fed thousands of people as a result. That God's power was being manifested through their puny little effort. And they were questioning, how could that ever be? You know, this is the kind of joy God wants us to experience in serving Him, in ministering, whether it's on the mission field or in the local church. When we begin to realize that when we turn over ourselves to the Lord, what little we have, what little we are, and God didn't get any prize when He got me or you, but when we turn ourselves over to the Lord and all of our resources and all we are, God is able to accomplish great things through ordinary people. And there's great joy in that kind of service for the Lord, especially when you realize that I'm nothing, but God is really using me. God is working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And here I am, useless me, just doing what puny little things I can, and God blesses it. That is the joy of the Lord. And what a blessing when we to the best of our ability, we share the gospel with someone. Our knees might be knocking. We might be trembling. We might stumble over all of our words. And God isn't interested in our eloquence. But if we obey and do the best that we can with our puny effort, and somebody gets saved, there is great joy in that. Or when a believer in the local assembly is discouraged, they're going through a deep trial, and you're not really good at ministering to people, but you just point to him in your Bible a verse that meant something to you, and he reads it, and the Lord uses it to lift him out of that depression and discouragement and puts a song in his heart again. And what joy for you to be able to be used of God in that supernatural miracle of turning a heart around. That's the joy of the Lord. You know, when God gives us a seed to sow, when God gives us a ministry to do, He's the one that ministers seed to the sower, isn't He? God gives us that ability. He gives us that seed. He gives us that message or Bible verse to share with someone else. He's the one who gives the seed to the sower. And then Paul says, He's also the one that blesses the seed and multiplies the seed sown and increases the fruit as a result. It's all God's work. And all He wants us to do is take a seed and drop it somewhere. That doesn't take a lot of skill. God doesn't need talented people to accomplish His work. He doesn't need wealthy people to accomplish His work. He doesn't need brilliant people to accomplish His work. In fact, God delights in choosing the base things of this world, the things that are of naught, things that are nobody, the foolish ones of the world, because when God accomplishes His purpose and fruit is born through the nobodies and the foolish ones of the world and those that have nothing to offer, very little talent, not the brilliant minds of the world, and people get saved and churches get planted, God gets all the glory because it emphasizes the fact that God does all the work. So the Lord wanted to teach His disciples on the side of the hill that day that ministry, when you're ministering to the Lord, little is much when it's yielded to the Master. All He needed was a little boy's lunch. And you know what? He didn't even need that. And He didn't really need the disciples to pass out or to distribute the fish. It wasn't how well they took the fish out of the basket that caused it to multiply. It was all the Lord's doing. He didn't need any of that, but He chose to use men. And what a great lesson for the disciples. The people were fed that day physically. Not because that little boy had something significant and of great value. He just had a lunch. And it was a great lesson for those fishermen and tax collectors to learn that God doesn't need the upper crust of society. God can use anybody if we'll give what little we have to the Lord. And when God blesses what little we have, the end result is fruit, and He gets all the glory. And I like the way Paul put it in 2 Corinthians. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're just earthen vessels. We are clay pots, but Christ lives in us, and the gospel message, the light of the gospel, lives in us. And God designed it that way so that God could use a clay pot to manifest His light and His life to the world so that in the end, the excellency is of the power of God and not the clay pot. And this was a great lesson the Lord Jesus wanted His disciples. Remember, He was not going to be with them much longer. And He wanted them to know how to minister in His absence. And He taught them that day. And these are great truths for us to incorporate in our ministry, wherever we might be. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for the lessons we can learn from the Lord Jesus as He taught His disciples And Father, we pray that we might have a desire to serve you, that we would never excuse ourselves from service because of our perceived inadequacies. But Father, help us to acknowledge our inadequacy and count in your power and strength working in us and through us, so that you get all the glory. And we'll thank and praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.